Okay, I can see myself. We'll begin. Can I have the roll call, please?
Burt. Tucker.
Here.
Ormsby.
Here.
Peters.
Here.
Rafferty.
Here.
Stoltenberg.
Here.
Wendling.
Here. Okay, welcome everyone to the Plan and Zone Commission for April 18, 2018. We are recommending Bonnie, appointed by the City Council, to review certain matters relative to plan and zone, of course. So I see a number of you in the audience tonight, so at the appropriate time, I will recognize the audience and request your input on the particular case, and we would love to hear from you. So I'm a step ahead of myself. I had minutes. Well, we're going to do that first, and then we'll look for minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I would move for approval of the minutes from the March 21st meeting with a special commendation to Lisa for plodding her way through these and doing it in excellent form. Thank you, Lisa.
I'll second that.
And I'll third that because that was the single longest Plan and Zone Commission in my tenure. So but thank you, Lisa. Yeah. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes for March the 21st, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So again, welcome everyone. And with that, Craig, we'll begin.
Mr. Chairman, our first case is involves Crow Creek Estates at Devil's Glen Road right here. You have Crow Creek that runs through this area right here, Crow Creek Park. And you have the substation that is adjacent to the site. There's a land use amendment going from greenway to urban high intensity, and then also considered as the A1 to R5, A1 Agricultural Reserve District to R5 High Density Multifamily Residence District. This is how the lot looks. As you're going down Devil's Glen Road, and this is sort of behind the lot, looking at the substation in this area here, shaped like an L, showing where that boundary is, essentially. And this is the utility map here, showing the sanitary and storm sewer, this being the sanitary here, and then the red storm sewer connections nearby. This is preliminarily platted as part of a larger project of Springs over here. And this is the outline and what area is currently zoned R5, what area is being petitioned to be zoned R5. This is the final plat of Crow Creek Estates. The boundary again, this is already R5 right here. And then the below part is A1. This is a concept of the buildings essentially that are proposed for this location. There will have to be verification. We already don't have that for any floodplain encroachment in here to make sure that this boundary is in fact truly where that is, and that will come up during the site plan process. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple, if I could. You mentioned in your summary that this was going to urban high intensity and then R5. Which is it?
I believe the land use is going to urban high intensity. The zoning will go to R5 because it's a comparable zoning. In other words, urban high intensity as a land use does permit the R5 zoning.
Would a lighter or less intense land use allow the R5?
I don't believe so.
Medium intensity?
I don't think the medium intensity does. I think it goes to R4.
I guess what else is allowed in urban high intensity?
You could have some type of commercial in that. You could have commercial zoning. But when we evaluated this parcel, it's rather narrow, and it's almost next to impossible to put a building that would be used for retail in that area.
There's also, I don't know, about different types of storage yards and things of that nature.
I don't think we permit storage in any commercial district.
Well, that's
pretty much I through. It's all the industrial ones, so that would require an industrial classification.
All right.
Craig, can you show me, I see that on the screen here now, the proposed access easement, that seems to almost bisect or cut into this, what looked like a longer building, and the last concept shows two buildings that you showed. Where does the drive come through the two, because, right, where are two proposed buildings on here, there we go.
There.
Let's see the drive.
It comes basically right up through here, and this is the building right here, it almost comes right up to the edge of the building, but it does not encroach into the structure, they're separated.
And that...
Plat, I think that plat, this may be like a setback area right now, you're looking at here is the actual buildable area, because this is A1, these are both your setbacks here for A1 district, and this is from the south. So what you're seeing is this lot as it's been platted in an A1 designation. When the rezoning occurs, this will have to be replatted, and we'll have to have the easement situated in such a manner that, well, I should say the setbacks showing exactly where that is, because that's what it looks like. Yes, that rectangle looks like it might be a structure, but it's simply showing the buildable area.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
Sure, Ian.
So on this screen, Greg, when you show the access drive, what remainder is there for any kind of parking for anything that would happen there? Once you put
the
drive in.
The parking is going to be in the interior here, and then the parking will be on this side right here, this area. And the drive will come up through here. There's an easement. It roughly runs this boundary right in here. And then the remainder of this area will be used for parking.
I had a similar question, Ann, too. Can you just kind of chart? It's hard to read the numbers there, Greg, in small print, but if we look at some kind of green belt or setback, some kind of parking, some kind of access road, some kind of setback from the access road, what's that all look like on there? It just doesn't seem like there's enough.
This is your easement area, is that 20 feet right here, and you've got your parking. This is all interior road, so there's not going to have to be, per se, a setback.
Private
unless
drive.
It's mandated, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, from the east property line to the edge of that center building, there's 44 feet. I think that was the question you're asking, how much.
That's where I'm going. So
Yep. Let's
say an 18 or 20 foot parking stall. Can it 20? Peace to you too.
Yeah.
The code. And then so would there need to be a setback between the east property line and the beginning of the parking?
There is not required to be.
Not required. So there's 20 feet. That leaves us
24,
you said 44 total. 24, 20-foot lane, and then 4 feet.
How many units are proposed in the building?
43 total.
Between the three buildings?
Yes.
Say 43?
I read Mr. Ryan's lips when he mouthed that to me, so I believe that was right. Okay.
That's a lot.
And the parking will be where, Greg?
Parking will be in the interior of each of the structures, and then I believe along these edges here.
But we've got another development to the north, right?
No, you've got nothing up here. This is all rugged.
Yeah, but I thought we had another building coming in.
Townhouses.
What you've got here is this. This is the structure. That's it.
Yeah.
And then you've got this structure here, and then the one down here.
So is that part of the 43 out of the three buildings we're talking about?
Yeah, that's total on the site.
Total on the site. Okay, okay.
And how much underground parking or under building parking?
I think there's one. What is it? One stall for each? Two? Okay.
Two for each unit.
So the original concept we had a few months ago is still going through?
No.
No, so that's
well, that one's, this is what, when you guys get the site plan, this will be the thing you'll be looking at.
So we'll be looking at all three buildings?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a new concept, not an addition to what we have.
Yeah.
That helps.
But the intent is that these are all buildings similar to what we looked at in this building at the northern boundary earlier.
That is not. No, they're going to be multi-tenant buildings.
Residential tenant buildings?
Like
yes.
Apartments?
Yeah. Somebody needs to go back to the microphone and answer some of these questions. I am doing this from memory.
My name's Dick Ryan, and the three of us are involved in this project, my son David and David Kempen. On the west side, as you come in, on the southern lot that's A1 right now, we plan to build townhomes with attached garages. So in addition to the attached garages, we'll have parking to the right, which is on the east side of the property. So the garages, the 15 garages, also help fulfill the requirement of parking.
Did you say 15 garages?
Yes.
But 43 units.
Yeah, well, the 43 consist of 15 townhomes right there on the left, which is zoned A1 right now. And then the remaining of the 43 are on the north side. And on the north side, in front of that building on the south side, is parking all along the property line next to the utility. Right, correct. So
the building to the north will have all exterior parking?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
It's answering all the questions.
Should have been in the back. They won't be able to see it. Only one room.
And where is the access onto Devil's Glen?
I don't know if I can get it on there.
Right there.
So does the fire department feel like that works?
We will look at the site plan when it's submitted and determine.
Just a little challenging here because we're looking at the concept of the R5, pretty intense, and we've got just maybe an outline of the building, and there's obviously a lot of constraints on this site that we see coming that we don't have a lot of insight into what's going to happen. That's why we're a little puzzled at
Correct.
This point here. So
yeah, justified.
Yeah,
yeah.
Any other light, Dick, that you can shine on it for us from that perspective?
On the north side, our apartments are going to be not real high priced, but they'll have washers and dryers inside the unit. They'll have a lot of storage. They'll be very, very attractive. Put it that way, with skylight and. You know, we're going to do a first-class job. Dave Kempen, can you add anything to that? Or David Ryan? Two-story structure. We think we have it all figured out, but there will be a lot of traffic there, but I think it's doable. And I think that, you know, we will have some restrictions on who we rent to. I own some units out in Eldridge. And I'm very fussy landlord. I'm fussy who I rent to. We don't have Section 8. We don't have, you know, just have to be careful what I say, you know. But, yeah, we rent to good people that pay on time and responsible citizens.
I do have a concept in the first building.
Oh, sure, maybe great. Could put you into the gray.
It's a good idea, David.
Nifty little device there. We can take a look at that on the screen. That'd be great. I'm going to hit the magic button for you. There you go.
Easier just to give it.
Got that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Looks like a motel.
Yes, it does.
That's pretty good.
It doesn't show the skylights, but that's good enough for now.
So is that the south elevation or the north elevation?
South.
That's the south elevation.
Yep. Yep.
And this would be the unit runs perpendicular to Devil's Glen.
Yep.
then there'll be garages on the east side?
The garages will be in the other building on the west side, on the south.
So this is the north building?
That's correct.
There'll be no indoor or underground parking for the apartments?
They're all apartments, though.
None of them.
Townhomes.
Okay, the smaller.
So you have apartments on the second floor and apartments on the first floor. So you've got two sets of apartments there. It's kind of like a motel kind of arrangement.
It looks like a motel.
Yeah. And so then what do you have envisioned for the other two buildings?
Those will be townhouse style with the garage in the back and then two-story. Typical townhouse.
So those will be townhomes. They won't be apartments.
Correct.
But rent it. Okay. And this is the reason you need the R5.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's just this or if it's rent the townhouses. I don't know.
It is for this particular structure. You are right.
I guess I'm concerned about the intensity. Mm-hmm. I really am.
43 units is a lot.
That's a lot of units in a very small space.
Right close to highly used recreation area.
Recreation area.
A lot of children and families going in and out.
And we have electrical substation right behind it, which doesn't make it conducive to, having a lot of people nearby. I'm a little bit nervous about this.
The building design is very similar to Sheridan Meadows that I own out in Eldridge. Sheridan Meadows has a 14-unit building, and I've got 168 units in a small area out there, and if you drove by it, you'd get an idea of what this would look like, actually, except they're smaller buildings,
I think the concern is less about the look and more about the traffic, at least for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Safety issues on that area of Devil's Glen, so close to.
It's quite a change from a greenway A1 to high intensity R5. I mean, I think there's a reason it was envisioned as a green space. But, we approved something before, which was fine, absolutely, and now we're changing that and making it a lot more intensive. And I'm a little concerned.
What's the total acreage between the two lots?
1.8.
So that noted the lot too, but that's all of it, huh, Dick?
I think when I sold the land to Springs, and I sold the land on the east side to Mr. Pandit, I think I donated. I don't know if it was 18 acres to the park for green space and for, the trees. So in its entirety, it was about 46 acres, the farm was. And I think you'd be happy with the fact that of the north building of the 28 units, there's there's one bedrooms are 16, David, 16 ones, and six 18 ones and six twos. And I think we can manage it, but we appreciate your comments, though.
That's a lot of units to park in there.
I don't know what you end up with, Dick, for real numbers, but I'm just thinking on a one bedroom, you're going to end up, I'm just guessing math here, 1.5 people a unit. And if there's 18 of those, that's 24 people. And if you've got 6 2 bedrooms, I just gave those two people a unit, which would give you 12, which would give you 36 potential tenants. And or cars in there too. Is that ballpark where I'm at?
It is. Yes. Yes. Right, David?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. We did. Yeah. we do meet the requirement, but.
So that'd be 36 in the north building?
28 in the north building, and 15 where it's zoned A1. But the 15 have an attached garage, which helps quite a bit.
And that is a single stall or a double stall?
Single.
Single.
Yeah, yeah. Two bedroom, one and a half bath.
Other comments from the commission? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Come back to the, anything else from staff since we've had a little extra information come in?
There's three things that could happen. There's number one, you could approve the rezoning. Number two, you could turn down the rezoning. Or number three, you could send this back to the developers to provide a little bit more information before you make your decision. If you turn it down, this, it kind of hamstrings them for a while. So I'm trying to give you some options, and them too.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I'm inclined to at least vote down the change to urban high intensity, the land use. You know, I just feel that's too intense. I don't know if that would hamstring them or not, but that's where I would stay right now.
Bill, urban medium. Craig, do you remember how many units were we approved before when we looked at this last
urban
time? What the concept was at that time?
I don't recall for the whole thing, no.
No, five or six, but it was considerably less dense, like, from what I recall.
Is that a land use requirement or is that a previous? That's if you go to the zone.
Design was
that's where
the site development costs.
Yeah.
Bill, I'm looking at the development character areas description. Both medium intensity and high intensity include single family, multifamily, and a lot of other things. So if we went with the medium intensity, would this type of housing fit into that criteria?
The criteria is you have a maximum of 12 dwelling units per acre, in the UMI. And with what they're proposing, that doesn't quite work.
Mm-hmm.
So following Paul's line of thinking, if it was stepped down a level, it could still be multifamily, but not as intense, as many units, which I understand makes things more or less cost effective from a developer standpoint.
As a comparison, what would be the density of the Springs today? Ballpark.
Well, I know there's 316 units. They've got basically one access point. They've got a secondary emergency access point, but one access point to 53rd. I don't know the developable acres there, because you got the acreage of the property and, of course, the area that they filled to make the developable area.
Bill, can I interject?
Yes.
I sold them the land, and it's about 16 acres.
Is that the area, the buildable area?
Yeah.
Okay.
16.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
16 acres, 300.
16
units.
16.
20 per.
316 units.
Relatively close to this.
Yeah.
I'd like to make one last comment. Yeah, and please. That is, if anybody wanted to drive by my existing, I've got 168 units at the north end of Eldridge at 711 North First Street. 711 North First Street. It looks identical to this long building. And you can see what kind of property, you know, what quality of tenants I've got, put it that way.
We can look at it online, actually. It's quite, I mean, it's a nice-looking building. I think the concern is less about the look and more about the intensity, how many people you're going to have coming in and out on the road there on Devil's Glen, where you're somewhat near to an intersection and then right above a park and recreation area.
Yep. Yep.
So that was working out, if I did my math right, 19.75 units per acre.
Springs.
And what did we say we are on this one right now, 1.88?
A little over 20.
So you're going to be a little bit over that.
Yeah.
What was our number? Was it
43?
43 were we at total?
Mm-hmm. Yes, probably.
43. That's 23. Mm-hmm. 13% more dense.
And a much smaller area.
Yeah, I'm with you, Paul. It feels like we're trying to put 10 pounds in a 5-pound
right.
bag.
And the thing is, I keep saying this. This is one concept. We have to think about what the land's going to be zoned permanently. So. To me, it's too intense for that piece of property. Whether it's, you know, 43 or 22, you know, it's the underlying zoning, which I have a problem with.
I would be, Bill gave us a couple of options to look at, and I like the idea of continuing the discussion at a later date right. with maybe a less intense plan. And at that point, we can look at
And
the issue of the land use and the zoning.
And more detail. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Typically, we don't ask people to bring the land use, the zoning, the
sure.
site plan, all of that at one time. But because of the intensity here, I think that would really help us understand.
Okay.
And if it is a little bit less intense, I think our discussion is going to be move along probably a little faster or better.
Let's defer. And get more information and more input for you.
Okay. Do we need a motion to that effect then, Bill? Okay. Back to the commission for motion then, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move we defer case 18-029 and 030, subject to more information.
Okay.
I'll second
Thank
that.
You.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to defer cases 18-029 and 18-030 for more discussion and additional information. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion to postpone is approved. Yeah, we've seen that work pretty well with other cases, Dick, that come back, take a look at it, and have some more information, and it's probably better for both of us, so appreciate that. Yeah, thanks. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, at the last meeting, we discussed this issue, and I believe the land use was recommended for approval to UMI for this parcel here that is north of Forest Grove Drive, and you have Devil's Glen Road right here. This is just the future land use map showing that you have UMI and ULI in both areas, and then also the indicators of what some of the zoning classifications as well, since this area is going to be intended to be rezoned to all UMI, you have identification of what ULI is and UMI, the definitions here, and then further classifications for the zoning, some of the densities and setbacks, and then some of the, again, some of the identifiers of UMI. These are the examples the petitioner is bringing to us for the single-family homes. This is the townhouse four-unit development that the petitioner is proposing for further to the north, and this is the preliminary plat essentially you draw a line through where this road goes, this is basically what the petitioner is looking at for the townhouse-type development, and then below here is single-family, and then there are two lots here considered for what would be the neighborhood commercial, I guess, if you want to call it that. In breaking these down, this constitutes less than 3% of all the use. I believe this area up here for the single family was around like 55%, and then the remainder was something in the way of like maybe 42% for the townhouses. This is again is a breakdown of how the residential is typically found in the UMI by percentage. This table does not impact or deal with any industrial or commercial on any of these character areas. It only gives you this as a guide for what the mix of the residential should be. It is not a guide for anything related to the commercial. So it's not regulating, per se, that aspect and limiting that. Staff, in reviewing the proposal, would again say, as you're deliberating through this process, you know, consider all these factors as they're outlined in the comp plan as well as the zoning ordinance. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission, please.
I have a couple.
Yep.
Greg, do we have any kind of input from the park board or anything else of any kind of future activities or anything that they would require or need out in this area?
I don't know that we've gotten anything. I don't think we had anything at development review that came from the park board representative, or I should say the park.
We do have the director of the park board that sits in on development review committee. Okay. So.
I was just curious because I kind of remembered that we had some green space or something at one time during discussions about there was falling field sites out across Forest Grove. There was talk at one point of like bike paths and things extending out, and that's why I was curious. I didn't see anything about bike paths. I haven't seen anything about, you know, pocket parks. I don't see any. I mean, this is 50 acres. This is a pretty big development, and I see nothing in there that, you know, any amenities for the people that are going to be living there. So that's why I was curious whether there was anything coming from the park board along those lines.
Now, we do have the 10-foot rec trail that's been constructed along Forest Grove, and I can't say for certain, you know, what the park's comp plan says, but I would guess most of the attention was shifted to Forest Grove Park that's now, you know, located east of Middle.
Mm-hmm.
We have had discussions at staff level of maybe incorporating some donation of park land with new residential subdivisions when they're developed, but that's in the not in the current subdivision ordinance, and mm-hmm. that hasn't been updated yet. So that's something that, with the update of the subdivision ordinance, that I'm not going to say that I'll look at, but staff will look at when that's updated.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm not thrilled by this layout. This is very similar to what we saw last time. It's got a little bit more interest, but not much. There's some things that could be done. We've got two commercial lots that could be incorporated into the plan in various locations. For example, you've got I think that's a detention pond or something on that outlot. You could put, you could move the two lots up there, create some more interest, and do something with your multifamily to buffer that into the single family residence. Again, I'm not thrilled with this layout. For 50 acres of future, this isn't what I think we ought to be letting Bettendorf in for. So that's where I stand on it.
I agree with you, Paul, that in integrating a commercial in the development, I don't have a problem with that. But when you have it, there's no buffering between the single family homes and the commercial. And typically we look at the multifamily as a buffer, but that's not the way this is laid out. And I see why you want to have the multifamily at the back, but you got five lots directly abutting that commercial without any kind of buffering.
There's another 18th and 53rd coming along.
Right.
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing, because you're going to, just the way it comes in, you've got two access points, right, basically on the south end, and the rest of it feeds through that. So you're going to have a lot of traffic at both of those points, and you've got people using the commercial sites for those businesses, pulling out, waiting to queue up. Forest Grove's going to get nothing but busier, and that whole becomes a real pinch point right there, aside from the adjacent to three single-family lots.
And Mr. Chairman, not only that, but there's only one access to all the multifamily in the back.
Yeah, is it right?
Yeah.
So there's two, but so then you
there
probably would
access.
Use
there's
only one kind of in the middle. If you come up the first entrance, hang a left, then a right. But there you go. Yeah.
Oh, that's
but
through.
There's east-west access that it won't be there originally or at the beginning, but there will be in the future.
That's where I would like to see a little more information about what this. Let's take a look at the larger slice of this and see if there isn't any opportunities to move some of that commercial maybe back to where the multifamily is.
Maybe we didn't provide good enough information. If you start looking at what the suggestions are for the ULI, UMI, and UHI, basically they're going to say a commercial need to be along the collectors of the arterial streets. I know there may be the thought that a gas station convenience store is going to go in here, but there's also some regulation in the ordinance that talks about the intensity and the scope that will be adjacent to these other uses. So there's some good guidelines that go into this. We were trying to be fair with, there was a residential development that was almost identical to this that was proposed where the Bedplex is being built. And this is very similar to what was required of that person, even though he decided not to go ahead with his project. So I took it upon myself to say if we're going to require this of one developer, we should require similarly of other developers. I like to treat people equally.
Mm-hmm.
So we did work back and forth with the developer and his engineer. We now have a version of Townsendville compared to what you were looking at last time. So it is a little bit of an improvement.
So we can't say
that. I'll take the heat on this.
This is your last meeting.
Oh, what a way to go.
So, Bill, I just want to clarify. If we have single family abutting these commercial lots, does that decrease the potential usage for commercial because it directly abuts single family?
And that's somewhat suggestive. What you're going to look at is a FAR, a floor area ratio, that's going to be allowed for the commercial use. And you're also, the ordinance gives you the latitude to look at the intensity of that. So that's going to be somewhat suggestive, but it does give you the latitude to say we don't want the convenience store. Mm-hmm. Gee, the coffee shop might be a good use there.
But could we run into the same issue that we did with Quickstar, where they say, well, it's zoned this, so I'm allowed to come here.
But this isn't going to be zoned.
I mean, but I'm talking about the commercial portion of it.
No, a whole different dynamic when you go to the development character areas and the ordinance as opposed to the strict uses that are allowed in your designated zoning districts.
The old versus the new?
C1, C2, C3.
Okay.
And this is new territory for not just you guys, but for staff, too, so we're working our way through it.
Other questions or comments from the commission?
Well, the other question would be, you know, we have, according to the desirable housing mix, we're a little bit over the single family, maximum of 50%, and I think you said it was 55%. And then we have a minimum of 20% for attached dwellings, which are townhomes, and then a minimum of multifamily dwellings, which would be townhomes, apartments. And I'm not sure how we fit, you know, the other class that we have in there, which, do we have any of the, is it split into two different kinds here or not? I mean, we're saying we want a minimum 20% of these two different types of dwellings, and I don't know if the multifamily meets those requirements. Does it meet them for both of them or not?
If I were looking at it, I'd take the broader look of the multifamily, not trying to
parse it
into the multifamily.
Okay.
Anyone else on the commission?
My only comment is there should be something towards the back of the property that will lead, some sort of a path that will lead at some point to the main arterial of our bike path. Something needs to be done there. Even if we're going to have a 10-foot all along Forest Grove, we need to have people getting from the back of this project to the front somehow, or going east and west and eventually getting down there. So I think that should be looked at somewhere in the project so that there's a bike path or a trail or something that blends in.
The new ordinance.
And we've run into this before where we haven't talked about it, and a division like this goes in, and then the next one comes along. Like, well, now what do we do? Because we can't connect because there's nothing to connect to. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in there should be something that, whether it's going, whether you've got some options on the land to the east and you're going to connect this all up, join it into that and then come up, or somewhere in the project, some sort of a path that comes up to the main one, or a 10-foot sidewalk somewhere in there so that you get people off the streets.
In the addition.
Especially since you're going to have the more, the duplexes in the back in this case, which is understandable.
And to the earlier comment, there's not a lot of breakup space in here. We've got the one outlot with the detention. I see in one of the radiuses of the street, there's a curve. There's a, well, maybe it's a house lot. It's lot 19. Maybe it is a house lot. It's hard to tell. Just across from the outlot for the pond. But it just goes on and on. There is nothing breaking it up along the way either. Is that a buildable lot, 19, just across northeast of the pond?
It doesn't, I don't, where do you see 19? This right here?
That's the camera.
I don't know if that was green space or if that was a house lot.
I didn't
see. Setbacks and things like
that. I don't think that could be. Setbacks wouldn't allow it, I wouldn't think.
Oh, I see.
It says lot 19, 20,000, 21,384.
But it's a real.
I'd hate to have to shovel the walk.
Bow tie, yeah. I had a house like that. It was hell, yeah. Anyone else in the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this? Yes, sir.
Chris Yousey with Yousey Real Estate and Development. We, as you recall, last month we had this approved, and we decided to take Bill's advice and come back in and throw some commercial in there in the event that is needed. So that's the reason for the commercial in the front. As we discussed last time, just kind of as a reminder, there's no market for us to have a single family in the back of the project. That's why the multifamily is back there. And also, we want the single family to be in the front, so we're somewhat consistent with the neighborhood surrounding the community over there across the street with the other residential homes. It fits in well with what, you know, with the surrounding neighborhood. So that's the reasoning. And the buffer that you see on the very north end of the property that shows the road that really is going to separate the single family from the multifamily. And the front of that street on the north side where the multi is will be, of course, subject to landscape requirements. I think that was mentioned last time, that are required for, you know, for the multifamily. All the multifamily, by the way, are four families, are not duplexes, and they all have, every unit has two-car attached garages with them. So there's ample parking, and, you know, really aesthetically, they're very, you know, very appealing product that we've had success with in the past in other communities. Again, we did this at the suggestion of Bill, who was very helpful in helping us come up with this layout. We tweaked it and kind of ran things, you know, by him with his input, and changed some of the street configurations so it wasn't as busy as it was before. So any other questions we could answer?
Thank you. Any further follow-up questions?
Not right now.
Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Come back to the commission. Thanks, Chris. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Dorothy Neff. I have a question, really. This whole conversation about the commercial lots on there, last month I thought that was designated as, I think, R1. So what changed that said that commercial could go in here? Or should go in here?
Bill, can you give her the insight on that?
The Planning and Zoning Commission did not like the straight road layout that was on the plat the last time. And I think I did lead into that a little bit. We decided we'd try to go to a UMI, which we had another development that was going to do the exact same thing. I believe
it's urban medium intensity.
Urban medium intensity.
Sometimes we speak code.
And I think that developer was told he had to put some commercial lots along Forest Grove Drive. So
and where did that develop?
I try and interpolate the needs and wants of the commissions and councils and try to apply them equally to everybody that comes in. That's always been my way. So there is a couple of future commercial lots. Due to the ordinance, they'll be very low intensity. They could be beauty shop, they could be coffee shop. The ordinance was not gonna allow Walmart to go in there. The ordinance is not gonna allow a convenience store, gas station to go in there.
Okay, if I understood you correctly, there's some other property along Forest Grove Road where you are also looking at commercial.
That was a development that the developer did not follow through on. It's where the sports complex is now.
Okay.
But that was previously looked at by a residential developer that wanted to do a very similar development to this.
So I guess, you know, I would say, if we're going to have some commercial development over by Betplex, let's keep it there instead of mingling it in here with the residential.
Thank you.
Another question. The original plat or the layout of the properties that we saw last time and this one, what is the difference in the number of buildings or homes or townhouses, whatever you call them, on the site now compared to the first one we saw?
Pretty similar percentage, isn't it, Greg?
I believe this area was the one that had the townhouses in it, and that is now single family.
It's a little bit more single family.
Do we know what the total unit count was, original site plan versus the site plan?
This is a plat.
Plat, sorry. Conceptually.
Yeah. Chris, do you know how many lots, residential lots, you had last time comparison?
It was very similar.
I mean, just directionally, is this one more or less?
This has got less.
This is less.
I think it was less.
Yeah.
This one's less.
Okay.
Okay.
And Dorothy, you're one of the neighbors out there, aren't you?
We're south of Forest Grove Road. We're a little further west. We're not directly south.
Okay.
On Forest Grove Road.
Thank you. Appreciate it. One of the concepts, and I'm speaking conceptually here, about the urban medium intensity, Dorothy, is that when you have a number of units out there in development, it's, I guess, logical, and correct me if I overspeak or incorrectly speak, Bill, it's logical that there would be associated services and needs for commercial to support the number of residential developments that you have there, or units that you have there. So as we look, and this is somewhat uncharted ground for us as well, too, when we look at that, we say, hey, you know, we've got 100 and some units sitting out here that would likely support a cleaners or a barber shop, maybe not in my case.
Services
out there, so that the people living in that area have some kind of convenience to normal services. So that's the kind of thing we look at, whether it's cut in stone that there be commercial in there. It's not, but part of the concept of the new approach that we're looking at in these more loosely defined urban medium intensity, urban light intensity districts is trying to find a better overall balance of what people would find acceptable and enticing from a living standpoint. So some of it's a little theoretical, but the concept's certainly not a bad idea. The challenge is how do you get there in the best way?
Very well said.
Well, thanks. Okay. But it's important. You raise a good question. Like, well, why is there commercial out there? And you just go down the street a little ways, and there's all kinds of commercial at Betplex. And I'm not sure sitting here today I can tell you I absolutely need to have commercial there. I like the concept of having commercial in areas to support surrounding residential that would accommodate it and support it. So, yeah, sure. I talk more, you get to talk more now.
So if you put a commercial in there, there was comment made about maybe the traffic backup getting in and out. If you have commercial in there, most places have a frontage road or service road or whatever, and I don't see anything like that. So I guess I'd like, you know, that consideration to be thought if commercial does go in there.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Some kind of frontage road in front. Although these are somewhat small from a commercial standpoint, it looks like they're just a smidge over and under a half an acre. So there's not a lot of room, probably not enough room to create a frontage road concept. And that typically happens in a longer area when you've got a frontage road that comes in and runs for some distance parallel. But you're a good city planner, though. And there's an opening, I understand, that is that after the end of the month. So, no, but in all seriousness, that is something that, from a traffic standpoint, would be part of what we would look at in a final site plan for sure. So thanks for your input. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I question, do we even... I mean, two lots out of how many, you know, is it worth even having them? You know, I know we're struggling to get, we have this idea of what we want to, and it's not going to happen. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. You know, everybody that's coming in here, this is what they're proposing. So my question is, why fight it? Why do we want to put two commercial lots?
I would frankly agree at this point. I'd say if there's a market for two houses there, it's probably more functional that way than putting it as two commercial lots and affecting the other three surrounding. Now that we've gone full circle, again, you guys are going, like, what are they saying now? But I would agree. And conceptually, I was just down in Florida for a few weeks, and they have some areas down there in these mixed-use developments. You might be talking about 1,000 or 2,000 homes, and there's clusters of retail development in the midst of the residential, and it actually works quite nicely. Yeah. It does work in America. We've seen it work. Whether it's going to work here, I would tend to agree with you, Paul. I don't think this is actually the place for it, but for the larger developments, I think it absolutely has a place for us.
You see it in Minnesota. You know, you see different places. You see beautiful, you know, mixed usage. But we're not getting that here. I don't know what the problem is, but we're not getting it here.
I think it's actually, it's just the fact that you have one builder grabbing this chunk of land, somebody else is going to get the one next to him, and somebody else the other one. You've mentioned 2,000 homes.
Master plan development.
Right. You're not getting that here. The only way we're going to get what the design was set up is if everything, all the way to the Betplex, was all part of this, and it was all put together, which means you have to either have the current landowners all get together, or three or four of these guys sitting out here are going to have to get together and have coffee and figure out that, hey, you put option on this and that, and then bring a master plan. I don't see that happening. They're too busy.
Yeah. All right, so.
I'm thinking back to all our discussions and the number of revisits that we had at the corner of Middle and Crow Creek Road with Advance. And there were a lot of plans for commercial there, which got scaled back because they weren't able to fill those spots. And there still is a little commercial plan there, but not nearly as much. So I think what you're talking about is highly probable here, that, you know, there may not be a tenant that is interested in that spot for all the reasons we've talked about. So do we address it now, or do we address it later?
Look at Mr. Codd.
Yeah.
That's, for years and years and years, we tried to have commercial along those, you know, middle road there, and it's not happening.
No. So I see it's possible this could self-correct. Maybe that's too harsh of a term, but.
It's descriptive, though. I mean, you're pretty spot on with that.
Yeah.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, another part of the discussion I had with the developer and his engineer was, if you draw a hard, fast line on this property and make the bottom part R2 and the north part R4, that's exactly what it's going to look like. By going with a development character area, you do have the ability to tweak this. If you find out there's an opportunity that, you know, we could take a couple of these residential lots in the middle and do some commercial there, because it certainly makes sense, or the neighbors are asking for it. But if you want to embrace the new development character areas, you're going to have to pull the trigger at some point in time. And I know that's a tough thing to do. But I ask you to keep an open mind.
I guess we have kind of, I thought we had pulled the trigger. This is UMI, and now we're looking at a plan, a plot.
What you had done is done a UMI land use underlying and put a firm hard line between an R2 zoning district and an R4 previously, which
I see.
Says that this is what this is going to look like come heck or high water.
It has to look that way.
Yes. Yeah. So the development character area is one of the nice features of it. It does allow this to transition. If trends change or something, you might be able to squeeze a little bit more single family over on the east side and maybe pull the multifamily down the west side. It doesn't tie you in to specific uses and a specific zoning designation.
Well, that makes sense, Bill. Appreciate that extra input.
If maybe one or two of the builders to the west or the east get together in the meantime, they might be able to put some commercial in the middle like we were looking for.
Unfortunately, to the west is a neighboring city.
I understand that. It's another world.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be banking on that, Scott.
Yeah. All right. Where are we at in the commission then?
I'm going to move that we approve case number 18-037, subject to the staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-037. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 18-037 is approved.
Keep going then. All right. Yep. I'll move that we approve case number 18-031, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. No further discussion. To approve case 18031, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18031 is approved. And Chris, just from the standpoint, appreciate you taking the effort to work through that. And even though we've kind of bounced back and forth, but I think the end result, and we keep in mind the concept of where we want to end up, and it'll hopefully work for both of us very well. So.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your input. It helps us understand how we can be a better neighbor to the community.
Yeah, thanks. We're learning too. So, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Craig. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, this is the parcel we're looking at. The zoning is R3 for the proposal here, Cottage Grove First Edition Preliminary Plat. And the parcel up here is A2. This is the floodway as shown on that parcel. This essentially gives you an idea of where the 100-year floodplain is above where that floodway is designated. This is what this originally was Creekview Edition Lot 1, Creekview Second Edition, this whole parcel. Then it was subdivided into Lewis First Edition, A2 lot, and then this is R3. Petitioners re-subdividing what is all R3 with essentially duplexes here and then single family homes here. As we noted in the report, you've essentially an area here that is in that 100-year floodplain, and that will require certification from FEMA that the plan submitted to remove all of these lots of record from that 100-year floodplain meets with their requirements. Staff in reviewing the proposal would recommend approval with the conditions that were listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please.
Yes, Greg, I'm just a little, I'll say I'm a little confused. The plat that we're looking at, which way is north on that? So then we need to change the arrow on the plan?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
Good catch.
That was the test. You passed. Okay.
Well, I was trying to figure out where it fit.
North is always up, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy cow.
So, Greg, what, or Bill or engineering, what's the impact? I know they're to the west on this drawing, to the west. There's a large home that sits in a pretty low, it appears to be in a pretty low plane right there. Yeah, there you go. So what does raising this site do to that adjacent property?
If I understand, they have actually, and if I'm saying something wrong here, please correct me. There's two engineering firms that are looking at this, and they're working in conjunction. The one is considering submitting a document to FEMA, which is called asking for a conditional letter of map removal. What that document is and what is occurring right now before they can submit for that document is they submit a plan to FEMA, and that plan is going to show how they fill. FEMA then will review the entire plan and make a ruling, yes or no, and if they feel that the plan is something that fits our ordinance, that fits their requirements, and our ordinance basically says that you will not adversely impact anybody either upstream or downstream. There's this very minute amount you can impact people, but it's within the limits of the ordinance. if they approve that, they will issue a conditional letter of map removal. And it basically tells the developer, if you follow the plan that you submitted to us, and then afterwards you get an engineer to certify that, yes, indeed, you did it the way the plan said you would, we will remove all of this from the flood zone. And our ordinance states that you can't adversely impact somebody upstream or downstream, and in the particular property you're talking about is upstream.
Doesn't seem like it, but I guess you would know it is. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah. FEMA could, as part of that review, they could, and very rarely do they on a development of this size, could require what they call a no-rise study. That's a more detailed impact study stating that the fill that you're discharging into the floodway does not cause a rise in the flood elevation.
Yeah.
And if they feel it does, they will have to make some compensation for that elsewhere.
Okay.
But that's a very unusual circumstance.
Yeah, given the size of Crow Creek and the size of this development, it's almost certain there wouldn't be any impact.
It's enough capacity to carry off whatever could be
exactly
pushed out. Okay. Thank you. Other questions from the commission? Well, I guess I have one more, too. When you pull up the site plan or proposed concept plan, I guess we call that, Greg. So the duplexes, you said, would they be side by side in those lots that have street frontage on both sides? How would those lay out with duplexes?
Front to back.
Well, then there'd be no backyard. I thought about that.
Yeah,
but then,
where's
the
backyard? Back to back, I guess you'd say.
Mr. Windmiller's up. Okay.
Hi there. Reed Windmiller, Windmiller Development. Yeah, those houses will face the, I guess, towards the, be the east or up in this direction.
Good.
That'll be the face of the house, and then we'll have walkouts on the backside of them walking out. We also plan on doing a little bit of a berm in the backyard and some trees to screen it off.
So really deep lots there then?
Yeah, they're 180 feet deep, I believe. So they're pretty deep for a duplex lot.
So will they only have an address essentially on the east side of the street then?
I believe so.
And it's all backyard on the south side of the street.
That'd be great to answer that one.
Okay.
A little better. We do have the same situation out at Spencer Hollow.
Right, yep. Right, which was a little unusual. I hadn't seen that really before, so yeah.
They have done a nice job of berming and screening the
they
rear yards. That undulating sidewalk too.
Yeah, that helped
side.
A lot too. Yep,
yeah.
Agreed. Okay. Sorry, anyone else in the commission? I'm kind of hogging the mic there. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 18-034, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-034. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-034 is approved. That's an interesting one. I drive around town and look around a lot, but I hadn't really seen that one sitting there. So it's a creative way to put that property to use, Windmiller. So pretty cool. Thanks. Okay, great.
Mr. Chairman, we have a replat and site plan for this area right here, essentially as part of Betplex. The area that we're looking at, and this is looking northeasterly, you do have Middle Road down here. You got the site that we're going to be looking at approximately here, and then this is the Betplex as it's being built. This is the original plat, and this is the area that's being replatted as a part of the Betplex first edition, which we have lots 2, 3, and 4, I believe they are, that are being replatted into a 7-lot subdivision. And that's to facilitate further development in these areas. For the site plan purpose, we're looking at these two retail outlets and then the hotel right here. And Betplex Drive will be the means of entry coming in off of there. And we also have access down here from Forest Grove Drive into the interior of the site. This will give you an idea of what the hotel building would look like, and then atypical for the retail structures. And then the landscape plan was here. The landscape plan met with all our requirements for the site, for the tree counts. Staff, in reviewing the proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Where's the current building coming out of the ground right now?
Up in this area.
Right there. No, not the big one.
He's talking about the retail.
The new one.
The one that's being...
Oh, the new, okay.
It's further up here, I believe.
It's a little north of that, Greg.
Yep.
It's the two... Nope, keep going to the west. Right there.
There you go.
And then just south of it.
Thanks. I noted the building, but I was trying to get perspective of where the new build... Not the big building, but the newest retail coming out there. Yeah, okay. Questions from the commission?
I don't have any. I think it looks like a great project.
Yeah. Kevin, you were the last guy in the audience last time.
I think you've earned the right to move to the front earlier of the agenda in the future.
Oh, we need a happy bang.
I don't know. Sometimes there's a benefit to being last.
Yeah. We don't have any cookies.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 18032, the replat, Betplex second edition, as submitted.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18032, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18032 is approved.
Similarly, Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 18-033, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that, too.
Great. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18033, subject to the staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 18033 is approved. Hey, while we've got you there, Kevin, I'm just curious, what's happening out there? They got an event planned, and when's the grand opening? And
they've been practicing baseball. Barnstormers is going to be their home fields. They started practicing about 2 weeks ago. The first baseball tournament's May 4th. Mm-hmm. The building is scheduled to open May 20, Memorial Day weekend. That Sunday, I think, is what the official plan is. They'll have a soft opening of the bowling alley. It's like an invite-only kind of practice sessions. Probably the week of the week before Memorial Day.
There was one comment up here if they'd be pitching snowballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope not.
Unbelievable.
Hope not. Yeah. Yeah, but great. No, it's exciting to see that coming and a lot of action up there, so great.
Yeah, the leasing activities have been pretty good, so we're pretty excited.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Good.
Okay, Greg?
The next project is I-74. Essentially, the site plan update, as it were, it's been changed since you last saw the prior one, but it's I-74 Technology Park, 6th edition. This is the area, again, a build-out, as if you were looking from Tanglefoot Lane, and essentially, this is as you come in on 40th Avenue, the existing structure being built underway, and then there are more structures intended for this area back here. And it's on lot 2 of the 6th edition, 40th Avenue, and then access to this. This is the original site plan, and these structures have changed in size. I believe one building has gotten smaller, and then two others were enlarged. And this is the new site plan. prior site plan for this building. This is the building under construction, and then these three structures that are right here. The landscape plan met with the requirements established in our landscape ordinance. These are the structures, the atypical look of what is being considered for the site. Staff, in reviewing the proposal, would recommend approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please. Yeah, it's really hard to see in that
small,
movie.
And small to big. This yeah. one looks like it's about the same.
Bigger.
Small.
Same.
Bigger.
Small. Small. This is
smaller.
Yeah. Questions or comments from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Come on, Kevin. It's another punch in the card, man.
We do need to adopt the punch card, I'm telling you. And I was going to bring a trash bag tonight, but I couldn't figure out how to work it into my presentation.
So disappointed.
All we did was we made the middle building 60 feet wide instead of 50 feet wide and elongated it, so it's bigger.
Okay.
And then the building to the south that was approved previously, we moved further away from the retaining wall just for constructability reasons. And then we shrunk the building to the north. So I think we ended up with the same square footage build, didn't we? And we were real close. That you already approved. We just moved it around a little bit.
It's my last one.
So.
But it hasn't affected the traffic flow, the parking. That's all pretty much the same.
Yeah, the layout and overall concept is the same. It's just the building square footage just moved around a little bit. So.
Seems to be a really good concept for that area out there.
It's been working out pretty well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of startup business, which is nice.
Thanks, Kevin. Anyone on the commission, further questions? That will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 18-035, the site development plan, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Thanks. We have a motion and a second to approve case 18-035, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-035 is approved. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this is a site essentially that we're looking at here for dedication of right-of-way to incorporate a sidewalk design that basically changes as it proceeds. Instead of just this conventional, what is being done is the sidewalk is being jogged around a little bit more like that, and the right-of-way dedication by the owners of Windmiller Development at lot 57 is providing us with that opportunity here for this design by creating this jog here into that lot that will allow the sidewalk to protrude into here and then come back out in this direction. Staff, in reviewing this right-of-way dedication, recommends approval of the dedication plat. I would ask, are there any questions?
Does the road move with that, or do you end up with a little green piece you have to mow?
I don't know that it does.
No, it's just the right-of-way, so they have the area to
okay.
make the sidewalk.
Keeps the sidewalk in the public right-of-way.
Gotcha.
The street's okay. already paved. That's all constructed through there.
Yep. A little interest, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, then I'll move that we approve case number 18-036, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 18-036, subject to the staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 18-036 is approved. Okay, that would take us to the commission update. But there is one missing item before. That would be item 12.5. That's not on the agenda, Bill, but I just want to say on behalf of the commission, it's been a pleasure. You've been an amazing resource, And I personally have valued your input and wisdom in helping me do a better job for the city. So I thank you very much for the service that you've provided to Bettendorf and its citizens. It's been a great ride.
Thank you very much. This is as close to fun as we're ever going to get, coming to these Planning and Zoning Commission meetings.
It's real, it's fun, but it's not quite real fun, but okay.
So thank you very much for that. This is my last commission update, and it's a rather lengthy one because we're going over the agenda from last time. The City Council did move forward and approve the Quick Star Site Development Plan. We did not move the Forest Grove project forward because I wanted to bring that back this time and confuse myself and the staff and the planning.
Okay, we're right there with you. That was good.
A central rezoning and final plat was approved by the City Council, the Hopewell Second Edition, Sensory Heights 18th Edition, the Wyndham Villas Site Development Plan and the plat. The final plat and site development plan for the AAA office park and the site development plan for the 3255 Monk's Court down north of State Street in the industrial park. So hard to say goodbye, but it's been
it good. Is it is
thank
yeah
you.
Yeah, it's been great, Bill, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. I think we all feel that way.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin Kellner's got a punch card he wants to talk to. So
this one's free. I just want to say that all of the staff is great. I mean, and I work with all of them pretty closely, you know, throughout the year. And I would tell you that in the builder and developer community, I've talked to a lot of guys, and we're all going to miss Bill and the way that he handles things. He's probably one of the most professional guys. He works out fair resolutions, even when they're not in our favor, and we've had those happen. But it's easier to deal with that when you know you're going to get a fair shake every single time. And like I said, in the builder and developer community, I'm the only one here tonight, but I know there's a lot of guys that feel the same as I do, that that there's a lot of there's a lot of people are going to miss him and the way he handled things. So I just want to say thanks again. We'll get a chance on the 27th to do this in a better way, but been just great working with you.
Thank you very
much. Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate
thanks, Kevin.
That.
And hopefully you've all been notified of the get-together on the 27th.
Yeah, what time is that?
We haven't been. I asked about something earlier today, and I got some insight on it, but I'm sure more is to follow. Lisa.
The four department heads that are retiring, it's Carol Barnes, Steve Grimes, Jerry Bolliger, and myself, have gone together, and we're going to put together a going-away open house at the Tanglewood Hills Pavilion on Friday the 27th from 4:30 to 5. It's going to be beer, wine, soda.
4:30 to 5?
4:30 to 8.
That's a really short
party. That was a short
party. Bam. Have your beer and run.
I'm going to be at a fixed income pretty quick.
I hear you.
But it's 4:30 to 8:30. I'm sorry, the band starts at 5:30. So come on out. It'd be nice to see everybody and shake hands, and hopefully not the last time I see everybody, but you never know.
Perfect.
Hope you can stop by.
Well done, Bill. Well done. Yeah.
Almost out.
And with that, we are adjourned. Thanks.